I got them Christmas shallow blues. Got them Christmas shallow blues. Got them Christmas shallow blues. All night. There ain't nothing I can do. There ain't nothing I can do. There ain't nothing I can do to make them go away. Well, I went.
Oh, I bet that caught your attention. Welcome, friends, to In the Markets. I am your host, Janet Parshall. It's that wonderful time of year. Oh, it is a glorious time of year, a time when we're giving thanks, a time when we recognize that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And what could be a better gift than that? But now here's the stark reality. Have you got those Christmas shopping blues? How do you stretch your dollar? So what we want to do this hour is to talk about how you can save for the holidays. Or, in the words of Steve Economides, and I like his phrase, put more jingle in your holiday. Steve and Annette Economides are America's cheapest family. And no, that's not a judgment. That's actually very flattering when you realize that this is a couple that's raised five children. They paid off their first home in 9 years, and guess what? They had an average income of just around $35,000. They pay cash for their cars. They don't use credit cards ever, 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 ever. And they write some amazing books and have a fabulous website, which you can learn more about by going to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, and you will see on the right-hand side of the page, America's Cheapest Family gets you right on the money. And their second book is dealing with grocery shopping and the way in which you can really stretch your grocery dollar. My copy of that book, I need to tell you, Steve and Annette, now has dog ears. It's got spaghetti stains on it. It's underlined. It's in the kitchen with my cookbooks. And you are causing a radical transformation in the partial households. Could I just say thank you, I think.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You know, this is really kind of humbling for us because in the frugal world, if people are really into frugality and they read some tips from somebody else who's frugal, a lot of times they'll say, we knew that already. And on the Amazon page where the book is selling like crazy right now, there's like 53 people who have written it, and very few of those people who are frugal have said, oh, we've heard that already. They're going, wow, I learned something new. And we're just talking about what we do as an everyday course of life. So it's pretty humbling.
Well, and Steve, can I linger on that a minute? Because I'm so thankful that neither of you are strangers to our audience. I just really treasure our time together on a regular basis. But I want people to understand that this wasn't a matter of you going out and getting a graduate degree. You two are graduates of the School of Hard Knocks. You just, you know, C.S. Lewis said, the will precedes the emotion, and the two of you decided that you would not live in a life, in a marriage, in a home, where you were constantly bowed under the weight of debt. And so if that's your first principle, you've just lived your life according to that, right?
That's it. I mean, and I admire Annette because she is like the most go-getter person I know. And I say that in a positive way because when we were first married, she didn't know how to cook. She didn't know how to keep a home because she was a typical teenager. Mom did everything, and she went to the mall. You know, and Annette didn't know anything about keeping a home, but she made it her goal to be excellent at what she does.
And now I can cook over 100 different recipes.
I know.
Yeah, so we've learned, you know, and it is teamwork. I mean, Steve is sweet to talk about how awesome he thinks I am, but I couldn't have done it without his support. So it is a team effort, and our kids are on board, and we've got lots to share about saving money.
But the truth is, no matter where anybody is on that domestic continuum, there's hope when you just take one step at a time, and that's what our books are all about. You know, we're here to encourage people to make it. Somehow.
Steve, I'm so glad you said that at the very beginning of our conversation, because when you two come, both you, Steve, and you, Annette, have said, look, this isn't going to happen overnight, because quite honestly, what we're really addressing here in some respects is lifestyle, and lifestyles tend to take a while to undo if you're going to redirect your lifestyle, and certainly how we handle our finances is a lifestyle. It's about choices. It binds together our emotional life. It's probably the biggest thing that a married couple fights about. So you have constantly encouraged us, and I'm glad you did so at the very onset of our conversation, to recognize the fact that this will take a while to take place in your life.
It is, but Janet, it is much easier than people think, too. And I know sometimes when you are just really drowning in debt or unemployment or illness or even possibly bankruptcy or car repossession or home foreclosure, it really does look hopeless. And we're here to say it's never hopeless. It's never too far gone. And any step that you take is going to put you in a better place and help you to feel better about life.
We were just talking to a couple at church this Sunday night, and they're saying, you know, we got ourselves $30,000 in debt, and we went to a consumer group for counseling, and they said, well, the only hope is bankruptcy. And we just went through the scriptures again about who God is and what his view of money is and about what it means when you borrow money and that you're basically making a contract. And he walked away, though, not discouraged, but with hope, because he knew that he wasn't going to go declare bankruptcy. If somebody was going to push him into it, then that might be the option. But he was going to go and try and stand up and pay what he owed. And he felt empowered, and he saw hope. And that's what we're talking about.
I'm so glad. And really, you two are a marvelous blend of understanding some of these key principles, and they are lofty and important principles, and then the pragmatics, which I very much appreciate. And your life is an example. That's what you would put forth before the judge as evidence, A, if we could do it, if we can raise five kids, pay off our first home in 9 years, and do it on a $35,000 a year income, if we can pay cash for our cards, if we can never use a credit card, if we can do it, you can do it.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people shake their heads and think that you absolutely cannot do it. All right, this time of year, boy, I'll tell you what, you can't turn your head a quarter of an inch without getting hit with somebody telling you to go out and buy something. And last time I checked, things are not real good out there economically, and yet who listening today doesn't want to say, wow, I wanted the very best spread I could put on the table for Thanksgiving. I want the very best I can do for Christmas. I don't want to hold back. So I'm caught between a rock and a hard place, between honoring somebody I love and care for and value and not really having the money to do what needs to be done. So for a lot of people, this is going to be about first steps today.
It is. And we have some really good news, Janet, because I was just getting super excited about the food ads here. And if we can take a minute and just talk about Thanksgiving, I would say if you had to host any holiday for your family for the year, jump up and grab Thanksgiving if it's not too late already, because everything for that dinner is on sale this time of year. And I'm going to name a few things like the turkey, frozen pies, cranberry sauce, frozen vegetables or fresh vegetables, even canned vegetables, stuffing, yams, Kumquat pie filling, 5 or 10 pound bags of potatoes, pie crust, canned pumpkin. Did I say yam?
It's a huge list. And we're gonna post that on our website. So when people go to your website, they can come over and go to AmericanCheapestFamily.com from there. And we'll have a list of everything that's on sale right now.
Excellent.
As a matter of fact, we've been doing a little chatting with people on our Facebook fan page, and we've been asking what the price on turkey is in their area.
And let me stop there. I want to find out what you're getting in terms of a response right after this.
Last minute shopping.
Helping you overcome today's tough economy, it's Hey Howard with financial expert Howard Dayton. And today a listener writes, Hey Howard, I'd like to work in full-time ministry, but I'd have to give up everything I've worked for. Can you give me an example of someone else who's done this?
Yeah, absolutely. Moses did. Pharaoh was the richest person on earth, and his daughter adopted Moses as a baby, giving Moses great wealth. Listen to what Hebrews 11 tells us. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now listen to this. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Because Moses was looking toward eternity with Christ, he gave up riches to serve the Lord. What a great example. Want more examples? Visit me at heyhoward.org.
You're listening to the Ankerberg Minute with apologist and television host, Dr. John Ankerberg.
Let me ask, what do you do when someone asks you a tough question about your faith? Well, many people, intimidated or feeling awkward to respond, they choose to say nothing. Others share only briefly and miss out on key opportunities to help a person spiritually. Well, the best option is to share what you do know, and then tell the person, hey, you'll look up more information to share with them later. When you do, you will help others to see you care about their questions, and you're willing to work to make a difference in their lives. We are to both share the hope within us, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, and study to show ourselves approved unto God, as 2 Timothy 2:15 teaches. That's how we can best answer our friends' tough questions.
For additional resources or to view our TV program, log on to jashow.org.
Well, we're going to go shopping over the holidays, are we not? And the point is to put more jingle in our holiday, how we can save for the holidays. And nobody can teach us better than Steve and Annette Economides. They are America's cheapest family. And when last we met, Steve, we were talking about turkeys. Now, turkey is never, maybe I'm dead wrong here, but I don't think turkey is ever one of the most expensive meats that we can buy out there, poultry to be specific. But around this time of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's usually pretty reduced, isn't it?
Absolutely. And what's cool is on our Facebook fan page, we asked people from around the country what their prices were. And we had prices anywhere from $1.19 a pound.
In the Midwest,
down to 29 cents a pound in New Brunswick, Texas. Now, I know, it's really funny. But, so listen, I think maybe if you gas up your car and you drive to New Brunswick, that probably wouldn't be worth saving that much money. But you know what's really wild is I talked to a friend of ours who's in the marketing department at a local grocer, and I said, what are you guys paying for turkeys? And he said, we're paying anywhere between 80 and 90 cents a pound. And they're selling it for 40 cents. So they're using that to attract shoppers to come in to buy other things. Mm. So they're willing to pay a little bit to get you in the store. So just be aware of that. It's a marketing technique. We do like to take advantage of it. And since it's a good time of year to stock up on something inexpensive like that, you just buy several turkeys if you have the room for it. Because then you can cook one every month or so and eat the least expensive food. And that's one of our principles for saving a lot of money.
And we do have a freezer, and out here the grocery stores are saying that you have to spend like a $25 minimum to get the best turkey price, but that's not a problem because there's so many yummy foods on sale, and this is a good time of year to not just stock up for the holidays, but for the whole year. So like, you know, around this time of year, I saw cream of mushroom soup for 50 cents a can. And we don't eat that a lot, but I still will make one meal at least a month that uses that. So I'm going to stock up on a year's worth of that. And since I'm putting extra turkeys in my freezer, I'm also going to stock up on jellied cranberry sauce. So whenever I cook a turkey, we can have cranberry sauce.
Oh, brilliant. And by the way, I know you do use cream of mushroom soup because it's in your recipes.
Yeah.
I've used it. Thank you very much. So in other words, what you're saying, and this is one of the tips, by the way, in the book that you wrote about getting the most out of our grocery dollar, you are very tuned into the fact that we should watch what's ever on sale and what's seasonal and what's cheapest. And this goes to the produce question as well. What's in season is going to be cheaper than what is not in season. And Steve, this is an interesting point that those lower turkey prices are a ploy to get you in the store so you'll spend more money. Okay, fine. If I know that going in, my eyes are wide open, get me in the store. But when I'm there, I'm going to buy a couple of turkeys if I've got the space because it's going to be really cheap feeding.
Right. And you know, in our book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, you're exactly right, Janet. It does talk about seasonal produce. And so right now, we've got apples in our area for 49 cents a pound. So an apple pie to go with your Thanksgiving meal is going to be like one of the cheapest desserts out there you could ever put together.
But don't just buy enough apples for your apple pie. Buy about 10 or 15 pounds. You can make applesauce. You can make baked apples. You know, there's lots of other things you can do, and apples will last about a month in your refrigerator.
Or 6 weeks,
so
easily.
You can store them and use them for a long time. So you can eat this 49-cent fruit for several weeks.
Okay, now, Annette, I want to direct this to you because I think I just heard a groan out there. Somebody's going, oh, okay, so I buy these extra apples and I make applesauce, you know, like Little House in the Prairie. Hey, I work 8 hours in the job. I got a two-hour commute. I drag myself in at the end of the day. I'm lucky if I can put a microwave dinner in the microwave, let alone make homemade applesauce. That will never work in my life.
You know, that is a great question. And what we say is applesauce may not be the thing for you. Baked apples are much faster and much quicker. And, you know, if you can't do that on a daily basis, make a special meal on the weekend and eat the raw apples for lunch every day. So figure out a way to incorporate them and just do what you can do. Don't stress about it. Life is too short for that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Let me bring in some callers. 1-877-LIVE-675. If you're like me, you love our visits with Stephen and Ed Economides. They are America's cheapest family, but they really teach us how to be good budgeters and, I'll take the phrase right out of Scripture, how to look well to the ways of our household. Denisha in Iowa, thank you so much for joining us, and we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Oh, Janet, so good to hear, or good to talk to you, and I am so excited about the program today, because that is me, that's our family, to a T. I came home from working full-time 2 years ago with the birth of our third child, and we are just, we're trying to do that right now. You know, it's been 2 years, and like the lady I said earlier, I'm so sorry, I forgot her name, it is such a process. I am so much better than what I was 2 years ago, but it's such a journey because I'm listening right now. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's such a great idea. And the only thing I'm lacking is freezer space. I wish I had freezer space because I love the ideas about getting more turkey for a cheaper turkey. I love this. I love listening to this. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, Tanisha, thank you.
You know, here's what we did. When we were first married, we didn't have a freezer. And one of our neighbors did, and she didn't fill it up. And so she invited us to share a shelf in her freezer. And that was our first experience at being able to stock up. So what we're talking about is if you don't have room or the money to buy a freezer, maybe a neighbor does have some room.
Or a parent or a relative.
Right. And it may be a little bit inconvenient, but you can still make use of it. And then the second thing is, in our book, if you have the money to go ahead and pay retail for a freezer and you can go out and get it, that's great. If you don't have the money, we talk about how to buy used appliances smarter, finding out the serial number so you can find out how old it is and buy something 2 or 3 years old. And freezers, a little 6 or 7 cubic foot freezer, they're only about $170 brand new, but you can pick them up used for even less.
But actually, our very first freezer was 9 cubic feet, and we just sort of put the word out. We just said, hey, we're looking for a freezer. And sure enough, my mom and dad found an aunt and uncle that didn't want theirs anymore.
This is a big Italian family.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
And so was it free, Steve, or did we pay?
I think we paid $50.
I think we paid $50 for our first freezer. So if you just put the word out, you could end up with a free freezer or a freezer for just minimal money.
There was somebody who was moving and advertised on FreeCycle that they needed to clean out their freezer because they were moving, and anybody who came by could take all their food out of the freezer. I mean, there's just deals everywhere. I don't know.
Do you know, Steve, this is so funny you brought up the used appliances, because in our last conversation, I think I must have turned over in my head the idea of used appliances more than any other thing we talked about. Mm. And this is where I know I'm talking for a whole lot of people, I feel like Alice in Wonderland, because it's like, great idea. I don't have a clue where to start. Where do you go to look for used appliances?
Okay, let me give you some tips, and this is how we do it. If I'm looking for a used appliance, the first place I'm going to go is Consumer Reports. And most libraries have a subscription to that. Our library has it online, so I can access it for free. And I look up the type of appliance we're looking for. So let's say it's a dishwasher. I look at the reliability ratings on them. And then what I'll do is I'll call appliance repair shop in our town. And I'll say, I'm thinking about buying a new dishwasher. What brands are you seeing come in your shop least often? And so I'm looking for reliability. I'm trying to get at least two or three sources. Then I go out and I start looking on Craigslist, FreeCycle, the classified ads, any place I can find it, and I look for somebody who's selling it. And at any given time, there's always someone who's looking to get rid of that item that you want. And you find that person, you're going to find a deal.
And sometimes use doesn't work. I mean, sometimes we'll search for a couple of weeks and not find something, and then we'll go to scratch and dent places, sometimes overstocks or discontinued. Mm-hmm. When we bought our dishwasher this last time, we went to a manufacturer's outlet store, and it was like last year's model, but it was brand new in the box, so it was half price.
You know, boy, talk about rampant consumerism. What is wrong with last year's model if it's brand new and it's in a box? It's a dishwasher, right?
Exactly.
Well, you know, the colors change from year to year. It's just black.
Let me take a break. We're going to come right back. Lots of people online who want to visit with Steve and Annette Economy. They are America's cheapest family. 1-877-LIVE-675, filled with practical advice on how you and I can, in the words of Steve, put more jingle in our holiday. More after this.
Just look at me. shopping for Christmas. It's that time of year. We're going shopping for Christmas. Time to spread good cheer. We're going shopping for Christmas.
And we're helping you put some jingle in your holiday by really knowing how to look well to the ways of your household when it comes to that blessing known as your money. That's the management position you're in right now. And there's some wonderful, very pragmatic ways to do it. And just sometimes we need a really good teacher or two. And we certainly have both good teachers in Stephen and Ed Econominis. They are America's cheapest family. A lot of people have great questions online as we learn to stretch that dollar. Carol in Kokomo, Indiana. I am so glad you're going to ask this question. We think of Thanksgiving, and then I think the best meal of the year is not Thanksgiving sometimes. It's the day after with all those leftovers in the refrigerator. So go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, I am a single person. I live alone, and I don't know anyone with a freezer. But I didn't know what good ways to store leftovers or how long I could store leftovers or which items would be best. Free.
Okay. Specifically, are you talking about the turkey?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What I usually do with my turkey is I'll freeze it in bags, so meal-sized bags. If I were single, that's what I would do. So if you decide to cook a turkey, just take that meat and put it into quart-sized zippered bags. And even if you don't have a standalone freezer, it'll still fit in your freezer attached to your refrigerator. And I'm sure you have a refrigerator. And then you can make those, you can take that meat and make those into other meals. So things like anything that involves chicken, you can also substitute turkey for. So cashew chicken, you can make cashew turkey. You can make turkey pot pie. You
chicken enchiladas.
You can make turkey parmesan. You can make turkey barley soup. There's a ton of things that you can make with that turkey. And in our book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, I do have some recipes in the back that talk about that.
Okay, now, just as far as storage. The key for storing any type of food in the freezer is to get the air out and reduce moisture. So when you put the stuff in the Ziploc bag, squeeze the air out of it, and it'll help it store longer, and you'll get less crystallized ice on it. The second thing is if you store it in the refrigerator, we usually put a paper towel in whatever container we have the meat stored in to absorb any extra moisture to cut down on bacteria and to help it store longer, but you shouldn't store it more than a week in your refrigerator.
Oh, less than that. Meat does not do well in a refrigerator.
Once it's cooked.
Right.
Once it's cooked. And turkey, everybody worries about whether or not this is the year you're going to make some of your relatives sick, right? So you want to make sure that you handle this meat particularly carefully. So you drew a distinction between freezing cooked meat and refrigerating cooked meat, correct?
That's right.
Right, right. And turkey, actually, we've got a wonderful way to cook a turkey. And basically, it's salt bathing it. And because I never have room to defrost the turkey, I never have room in my refrigerator to do that 3-day defrost. And so I just do the night before, I stick my turkey in the sink, cover it with a dish towel, a clean dish towel, and put at least a cup of salt in the water. Fill water all the way up as much as the sink can hold before it's kind of spilling over. And it defrosts overnight in the sink with the salt water. The salt also keeps any bacteria from growing whatsoever. And so then you've got a wonderful defrosted turkey in the morning. And then I do the sear method of cooking the turkey.
And we have that written up in our ACF update, which people can access online through our website, because it's kind of detailed, but we talk about how Annette cooks a turkey, because we've cooked over 100 since we've been married.
Wow. And searing, you mean browning the outside, right, Annette?
Right. Yeah, we put it at a real high temperature, and I baste it for like the first hour, and then no matter what size the turkey is, even if it's 25 pounds, it's done in 4 hours.
Wow, fabulous. All right, if you're driving, don't write down notes, okay? We want you to get home safely, but I do want you to check out InTheMarketWithJanetParshall.org, because when you get there, this is what we do to make it easy for you. You'll be able to click on through to the website for America's Cheapest Family, where, as you can tell, there's loads and loads of information. We are only halfway through our conversation. There is so much more as we help you enjoy this wonderful time of year and get the most out of your shopping dollar. We'll be back.
Christmas joy. Going shopping for Christmas. Time to spread good cheer.
iPods and Blu-ray, we might.
must have PlayStation.
Camcorders, cameras to take on vacation.
Stereo systems that dwarf everything.
We don't need money, we charge everything.
Ooh, that is not the song sung at the Economy Days house. Steve and Annette have never, ever, ever used credit cards, and they live debt-free. They are America's cheapest family and proud of it. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. And I want to go to Derek, who joins me from Cleveland, Ohio. Derek, thanks for stopping by. And your question for Steve and Annette, please.
Hi. I was wondering about canning. My wife and I are going to be starting a garden in the backyard in the spring, and so I don't know if you've ever done any canning or, like, any advice and fundamentals that you can give on that, because we've never done anything like that before.
We have actually done some canning, some very basic stuff. And the easiest stuff to start with is what they call water bath canning. It's not like a pressure canner. It's cheaper equipment to start with, and you can do things like jams, jellies. I've done bread and butter pickles. I've done an awesome zucchini relish recipe.
And what happened the first time Annette wanted to do this is she called up a friend who she knew had experience in it, and they spent the day together making, I think it was strawberry
jam and orange marmalade.
Yeah, and they worked together, and this gal passed on her knowledge to Annette, and that's been going ever since. So it encouraged you to find somebody, one of your neighbors, somebody at church, something like that, and get together with them and let them teach you, because it's so much easier than, you know, making mistakes the first time
and
out.
Gardening is such a fun hobby, Derek. You will never regret starting to do that. And once you taste that zucchini relish, you'll never eat anything else.
Let me go to Indiana, where Sandra joins us. Sandra, thanks so much for being here. Your question, please, for Steve and Annette.
Yes, I would like to know what their approach is toward replacing their vehicles, as well as helping put their kids through college.
Okay, well, vehicles, real simple. Cars wear out. So what we do is we pay ourselves a car payment. Now, when I was working in the advertising business and I had regular income, that was pretty easy. We set aside between $200 and $300 a month into a money market account that used to earn a little more money than it did now. And every month we paid ourselves. And so when it came time to buy a car, we were looking for a van once, and we had $12,000 sitting there. The next car, we had another $12,000. So you just kind of you rotate through that. If you're putting aside $200 or $300 a year or a month, you basically are going to have money every 3 or 4 years to buy a car. And if you don't, let's say your car dies and you need to buy one now, put aside as much as you can. And obviously, we don't want to borrow money. That's our first goal. But if you can't do that, put as large a down payment on it as you can. Negotiate the best deal you can.
And borrow the least amount you can to get the safest car. So don't, you know, if you're in that position where, oh, my gosh, I'm without a car, I've got to go get a loan, then don't go buy a 15 or 20 or 30 grand car. Go get a car for $6,000 or $7,000, one that's safe but that you can pay off quickly.
Can I ask, and you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, but because you're examples for the rest of us and because you only pay cash for your cars, do you two only buy used cars?
That's right, because there's always, remember, the principle is there's always somebody who wants to get rid of that thing that you want. We found a lady who owned her own business. She'd bought her daughter a Honda Accord, or she actually leased it, and the daughter was in college, and it was time for the lease to be up. The payoff for the lease was greater than she wanted to pay, so she decided to sell the car. She was desperate to sell it. We picked up a bargain. It only had like 40,000 miles on it. We still have it today. It has 140,000 miles on it.
But, Janet, the thing to remember is the minute you drive the car off the lot, it's depreciated.
Exactly.
So if you lose. You lose 20 to 40%. And so why not wait and get a vehicle that's 4 years old? You're still going to have 10 years out of it.
Yeah, as evidenced by your case. Thank you for that. Very much appreciate your question. Let me go back to the phones, and let me go to Freddie, who joins us from Florida. Freddie, thanks for your patience. Your question, please.
Hey, I just wanted to ask if your principles with your life would apply to a grad student, because I'm hearing everything that you're saying, and it sounds great, but it's like, how do I have the time? Because I'm gone like 10 hours a day, and then when I get home, I don't have the time to do all these things. So does it apply to a grad student?
They do apply, Freddie, on a much smaller scale. So you're not going to be able to do the things that we do, but you're certainly going to be able to do something. And you're going to need to use your weekends as your catch-up, as your get-ahead time. So on the weekends, maybe the time when you want to cook bigger meals so that you have, you know, dinners for during the week.
So you aren't tempted to go out and get pizza every night or go out to a restaurant, which is going to cost you four or five times as much. See, in your case, graduate school is expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most people who go to grad school, they're usually financing that. Well, part of what they finance are their living expenses. So if you can cut $5,000 or $10,000 off of what you're going to borrow to go to grad school, I think it's worth the effort.
The other thing, Freddie, to remember is in our book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, we have a chapter on cooking, and it talks about getting ahead. So what you would do is you would buy ground beef, and you would do like three things with it. You would do tacos and sloppy joes and spaghetti and meatballs. So
and
you
all
would,
that stuff can be prepared in advance and then eaten throughout the week.
Right. So that sort of thing, those principles definitely apply to you.
Freddie, thank you very much. I appreciate your being with us. 1-877-LIVE-675 is our number. Karen, thank you for joining us from Illinois. Your comment or question?
I just wanted to tell you a funny freezer story. I was home for 17 years with our kids, and we don't regret it. We had to live very frugally, but God just blessed us in outstanding ways. When we moved to the home we're in now, the people before us tried to move a huge freezer, the stand-up refrigerator size, out of the basement, and they broke a stair and it fell back down, so they left it. So we plugged it in. It worked great. It worked great. We use it today, and they repaired the stair. We can tell it's a different color, and we have a great freezer. So it's just like, thank you, God, for our new freezer.
That is a great freezer story. And, Karen, speaking of freezers, I wanted to speak for you and for everybody out there. This is the time to defrost and reorganize your freezer to stock up on all those Thanksgiving foods that you're going to want to buy. And we have in our chapter on organizing in our book, we talk about how to organize your freezer so you can find everything that you need when you want it.
Mm, excellent. Karen, thank you. What a great story. Appreciate so much your sharing it with us. Kenny, you're in Tennessee. Tell us what you're thinking, please.
Good evening, Janet. I just have
nice
a slight take on the used appliances. I don't know if the guests have ever thought of it, but it kind of struck me off key one time, and it actually worked out quite well for me. Is everybody, I think, in this country has a rent-to-own store?
Yes.
Okay. They lease them on contract, and in this economy, people hold on to them for, 2 years before they're paid off?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can get in close to the end of that where somebody has had a hard time and they've turned it back in, all you have to do is pay off the end of that contract.
There you go.
Excellent point. Very good, Kenny.
I've gotten a $300 refrigerator for $175.
That makes us want to stand up on the chair and cheer.
Hey, can you go to our website, americascheapestfamily.com, and send us that tip in writing, and we'll post it on our website. That's an awesome tip.
I sure will. I got a five-piece bedroom suit, Ashley, for $300.
Wow.
Including mattress and box spring.
Way to go.
A six-drawer dresser with mirror and nightstand and the headboard and rails.
Awesome.
For $300.
Kenny, you have to be sure and go to the website and post that, because you're an encouragement that it can be done. But sometimes I think it just means getting creative ideas, thinking outside the box. And
right.
For a lot of us, I don't know how many of us would have thought about going to a rental store like that. What a great suggestion. So thank you for that. And if you forget the website again, inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org, you'll see more about Steve and Annette Economides, and you'll be able to click on through to their website as well. All right, William, I want to welcome you into this. You have an idea for cooking a turkey. Share that with us.
Hey, Janet, thanks for taking my call. Thanks to the gym right now. I'm trying to work off the holiday turkey before I eat it. my dad, for the last few years, has been deep frying the turkey in peanut oil. It doesn't save on money, but it saves on time. 13 minutes a pound, and it locks in the juice, and it's really delicious.
You know,
we've had some of those, and they're really cool. They're juicy.
William, we have heard about deep frying turkey. The only problem is I usually cook turkeys between 20 and 25 pounds when I cook them, and deep frying those gizmos that you do that in, usually you can't do more than a
14 to 16 pounds.
Yeah, no more than a 15 pound turkey. So that just doesn't work for us.
But it's a good idea, and we just want to encourage people to be really careful when they use that hot oil and make sure there aren't any little kids around. Do it in a safe way, because even if it tastes great and you're saving money and somebody gets hurt, it's not really worth it.
Mm. And, you know, in my part of the country, I have to tell you, the big thing to do to cook turkeys is to smoke them. So you'll see smokers in backyards all over. So marvelous ways to do it. But the point is that Steve and Ed are saying, hey, when you hit the grocery store right now, this is when you can get turkey meat at a very cheap price. Stock up and you can stretch your dollar. Steve and Ed Economides are, in fact, America's cheapest family. Lots of calls online. So we'll return to the phones when we get right back.
That's why we're able to have all these things. When the bills come, it is no fun, and we're feeling sad. We simply remember we have all our things, and then we don't feel so bad.
Just like the past,
just like the past.
Put my Christmas shopping off and hope that the twofers last.
The twofers last.
My credit cards are all maxed out. Find an ATM to help me before I start to shout. So I check off my list, see there's no one I miss. Mistletoe, grab a kiss. Last minute shopping.
And we're going to help you with your shopping, at least the financial part of your investment, with Steve and Annette Economides. They are America's cheapest family. I just got a great email, and you know who you are. You're going to recognize it when I read it, but I'm not going to say your name, okay? And she writes this, Stephen Annette, and I'd love you to respond. I am so on board with this. I cook everything from scratch, sew clothes, and shop resale, plan menus, and it's a lifestyle for me and even a fun challenge to see how much I can do with how little. But my husband refuses to partake. He cannot save. He only spends a lot, and I end up paying for his debt. I end up resentful and fed up. Why do I work so hard? I pack a lunch every day. I make him wonderful lunches, and he'll go out to eat. And by the way, she says, I make a killer turkey lasagna.
Oh, bless her heart, Janet. We hear this quite often. She's not alone. And this sweet gal, what she needs to do is she has to get a third party involved.
Because sometimes men will be boys.
Yes, and they
and
don't.
We need, you know, guys, if your wife is working hard, you got to support her. I don't care how much of a sacrifice or how much it makes you feel weird. I didn't like going to the grocery store with Annette when I first started doing it. I didn't know what I was doing, but I did it because I love her. I did it because if I'm going to eat the food, I got to help bring it home. And it's time for some of us to grow up. I know that's kind of harsh, and we like to be positive. But I'm positive this guy is building resentment in his wife, and that is not a good thing.
And you're right. And the sweet, you know, the sweet, hardworking ways that you're doing, and the fact that he's just spending, says that there could be some emotional wounds in his life that may need to be dealt with as well.
Find a marriage counselor. Find somebody from Crown Financial Ministries. They offer free budget coaching. I think they call it the Money Map Coaches now. But you got to get somebody else involved to help speak into his life.
Also, look for an older couple at church. A lot of older couples, if they've been married for 30 years or more, they understand about these sort of conflicts and issues, and they can agree and come alongside of you and help you work through some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Emailer, thank you so much. I appreciate your taking the time to send it. I'm going to go to Oregon now, where Patty joins us. Patty, your comment or question for the Economy Days, please.
Yes, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My husband and I are 67 and 66 years old, and we've raised four children. I just love this program right now. It's great. But I know I have to be brief, and I always get a little bit nervous. I'm not a public speaker. I've been a stay-at-home mom, did a little work out of the home. But my question is this: since we are our age, 66 and 67. And we've been conscious of salt and sodium content, in our bodies. And my husband did have also double heart surgery last year, one in June of 2009 and then another in December because they tried to repair his mitral valve, but they had to replace it. Anyway, when she talked about submerging the turkey in the sink of water and then a cup of salt. I've even been using Celtic salt, spelled C-E-L-T-I-C, and it's brown, it's coarse, because we've had to be so conscious of the sodium content. And I can't get the canned soups anymore with the when there's such high sodium in them. So I have to either make my own or, you know, go to the low sodium stuff. And so my question is, what about the cup of salt in the sink of water?
Patty, you know, I have actually some high blood pressure issues too. And the for me, as long as I don't salt my food on my plate at the table, I seem to be doing fine. So we're like eating our vegetables without salt. I'll use onion powder to season my vegetables at the table.
What it sounds like, and this is one of our principles for healthcare, is you've taken responsibility and will become an expert for what works for you guys. And that's what's going to save not only money, but it's going to save your life. And so that's what we say. You've got to do the research. We can't depend on doctors to take care of us. Yes, their counsel is good, but we have to get in there and get our hands dirty and learn. And I just applaud you, number one, for being a stay-at-home mom and raising four kids, and number two, for learning about your husband's health issues and standing by him and watching out for him. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Patty, thank you so much. Dave in Illinois, thanks for being with us. Your question.
Yeah, I've got four kids, you know, and I bought a house, and I'm just curious how you raised five kids and paid off your house so quickly.
It's priorities, and it's using a tool to manage our money, and that was using a budget. There's nothing magical, nothing mystical. It was discipline. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but our goal was to keep our overhead as low as possible. Now, that doesn't mean that we never ran the heat and we never ran the air conditioning and we ran around in burlap sacks. What it meant was we found ways to get the clothes we needed less expensively by buying them used. We bought used cars. We didn't have car payments, so that kept our overhead low. We didn't buy the biggest house in the neighborhood, so that kept our overhead low. So a lot of things combined together, but managing our money so that we knew where everything was going. And it's not that hard. Crown Ministries advocates using online Envelopes, Envelopes.com. We've reviewed it and have some information about them on our website. But I just encourage you, Dave, got to manage the money. You've got to, like Janet always says, look well to the ways of your house. You've got to know the condition of your flocks. You've got to manage it actively.
And I think besides the big mistakes that Americans make with their money getting in over their heads in their houses and their cars, sometimes it's the little stuff that we fritter away day in and day out, going to movie theaters every week instead of making it a special treat once every 2 months, going out to fast food or out to dinner or just – We just fritter away so much money, whether it's a latte every morning or eating out for lunch.
You know,
or
the scripture is really true that says when you're faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. So you know, a lot of people don't want to mess with the little things like the change and the seat cushions in your car, but those things really do matter, and they matter to God, and they matter to your family.
I got to tell you a funny story, Janet. Steve and I once had a bet where we put $5 in our wallets. And we tried to see how long we could make that $5 last. And I won at 6 weeks, Janet. I still had $5 in my wallet after 6 weeks.
Well, that's because we use debit cards. We don't.
No, but we just don't stop and pick up little things.
Wow. Oh, can I just encourage the two of you? You're so filled with practical advice and just biblically based as well. The two together, such a powerful combination, and so many people online. Thank you for visiting with us, not only today, but always and on a regular basis. We appreciate it more than you know. In the Market with JanetParshall.org. You'll learn more about Stephen and Ed Economy. They're loaded with advice, and I want you to make sure that you stop and visit their website, loaded with practicals as well. You're going to see the first book they wrote up there on our resource side, America's Cheapest Family, gets you right on the money. Their second book is How to Really Stretch Your Grocery Dollar and Cut Your Bills in Half. My thanks to Stephen and Annette. They're wonderful. And to you, friends. We'll see you next time on In the Market. There ain't nothing I can do.